With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Sean Pendergast, Seth Payne with you on a game day Thursday here on Sports Radio 610. So Charlie Casserly was the general manager of the Texans their first 4 years in existence. He was a GM when you were here, Seth.
He was.
He made the decision to bring you to Houston.
He did, and to keep me in Houston.
Yeah.
And then he also made the decision. Let's see. People don't remember Charles Casserly fondly, and I get it. It was. It didn't work out between Charlie Casserly and Dom Capers. The real tragedy was that I think that Charlie Casserly and Gary Kubiak might have been a dream pair. Charlie Casserly and Gary Kubiak, would we still call the 2006 draft the best draft in Texans history? I'm trying to think of, because we got Owen Daniels, we got Mario Williams,
yeah,
we got Eric Winston.
Eric Winston, you mentioned Owen Daniels, Mario Williams, David Anderson was in that draft.
He counts.
He does.
Well,
he does.
He was a late round pick.
Played on
he got
the team.
A viable
oh, D'Amico
Ryans.
D'Amico Ryans.
Rookie of the year.
Yeah. So no, that was a really good draft.
This is the thing. I think Capers. The problem with Capers and Kubiak, I swear, two of them were too decent for their own good.
Yeah.
Instead of that productive dysfunction you need, where people are at each other's throats every now and then, I feel like they were both too. I sense that they deferred to each other. They were trying to be cool with each other too much. Now, with Kubiak and Casserly, I think when Kubiak came in, he kind of, because Casserly had already done the legwork on the college draft and everything, I think they had a pretty good working relationship, and it ended up yielding a really good draft. And then it was hasta la bye-bye.
That's probably their best draft in terms of the number of play, like the number of starts.
Right, right.
You know what I mean? Like, I think it's
like
hard.
Good, viable Pro Bowl caliber players.
In terms of the quantity of players, to me, it's going to take a lot to trump trading up to get Deshaun Watson in a draft.
Well, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's,
yeah, but. Yeah.
I mean, it all depends on how you look at it.
Yeah.
Like, you know, to me, like, it's like getting Deshaun Watson in a draft. You could have drafted eight mannequins. You get Deshaun Watson in a draft, and you could make an argument that that's your best draft.
Right, but if you're going to judge a GM by, okay, how many good decisions are you making?
Yeah.
And, like, throughout the length of the draft, it's one thing to just swing for the fences and get one guy. That's great. But over the course of not whiffing on a bunch. Compare that. The opposite, the worst draft would be the 2013 draft.
Even though that got Hopkins, though. You know what I mean?
That got Hopkins. Right, it got Hopkins, but the rest of it, it wasn't. The thing about the 2013 draft was that the bad picks were so bad. Guys,
they weren't even on the team.
They never even played in the NFL.
Yeah.
Right.
Several.
You had several higher to mid picks that just never played in the NFL. Sam Montgomery and those guys.
Before we get to this Casserly audio, let's take our divergent views here of drafts. Would you rather have the 2017 draft, or would you rather have the 2000? If you're an NFL team, especially one in need of a quarterback, would you rather have the Texans 2017 draft, where you get Deshaun Watson, or would you rather have the 2006 draft, where you get four or five viable, a couple of Pro Bowl starters, but none of them are at quarterback?
Well, I mean, the quarterback trumps everything.
Yeah.
But again, I'm talking about process versus results.
Sure.
Like, as far as it's the best overall draft in terms of actually getting a bunch of viable players, I would still say that the 2006 draft was the best overall draft.
I would say that too. Just you name the names you just named, and I would say that's accurate. So Charlie Casserly is on the NFL Network now, and he's one of their analysts. He breaks down film. Seth and I watched this video of him yesterday, though, and I think you and I both agreed, Seth, it seemed like there was like a little extra pep in Charlie's step yesterday in breaking down this Texans team.
I've seen this over the course of the last few years.
And with Charlie?
Yeah, I don't know if he's doing it intentionally, or maybe he's just one of these guys that, as he's getting old, you know, guys get older, they'll wear purple shirts and whatnot. They let their freak flags fly.
Should we let the audience decide along with
us? Yeah, tell us if this sounds anything like the Charlie Casserly you know.
All right, so we're going to go through. He does sort of an autopsy on the Ravens game and some of the things that happened with Deshaun Watson in that game. Here's Charlie Casserly.
All right, Andrew, we got this great first place matchup game on Thursday night. So the number one key, keep Deshaun Watson in the pocket. Now, he's a good pocket passer. Let's roll the tape. But he's very dangerous outside the pocket, even more so. Now, here you go. He's in the pocket, right? This is a sack, Andrew. This is a sack. Both receivers are covered. He got nowhere to go to ball. Throw the ball. What do? You let him outside the pocket. The running back adjusts his route, which you're supposed to do on the scramble play. and we get an easy completion.
Okay. It started off normal, right?
Yeah.
It started kind of like Charlie Kansas. And then when he started doing the play-by-play,
what,
he got
what
super
you doing?
Excited.
Hey, Andrew. He's yelling at Siciliano like it was Siciliano making the mistake. Like, Andrew, like, what are you doing right here?
He sounded like? He sounded like Joe Paterno on meth or something.
A little bit.
He was just kind of like...
a little bit. Beat Nebraska. Do we want to hear more Charlie?
Yeah, let me hear some more Charlie.
Give
I like
some
this
more.
Charlie.
Inject it
in a pocket. Now, here's how you're supposed to do it. First of all, watch this running back. He's key to this play we're talking about here. All right, back to throw. We're covered on the top. 3-on-2. Get the ball to the running back. Bang. Come off there. Throw downfield to the running back right over here in the flat. He doesn't do it. He holds the ball and gets sacks to Sean Watson.
Yeah, and that was, I think you don't need to, he's obviously describing video. I feel like he could be a radio play-by-play there. It's descriptive enough.
You know what he sounds like? He sounds like every impersonation of Newt Rockne in the win one for the Gipper speech.
Yeah.
We're going to win. We're going to get inside him, outside him, inside him, outside him. We're not going to stop until we cross that goal line. Hey, Andrew?
I got to talk. You know what? I got to talk to that play that he was describing right there.
Yeah.
I talked to Clint about this, Clint Sterner, a little bit. I got to, and Clint kind of gave me a blank look like he was, I think he was thinking what I was saying was dumb, but he didn't want to be impolite about it. I got to talk to him more about it because I.
About his look or about the play?
About the play and the look. No, there are times it's strange. Deshaun's not a short quarterback.
Right.
There are times where I feel like he almost plays like a short quarterback. There's times where, like Castley was just saying, dump it off to the running back. Some of these plays where it should be relatively simple, it almost feels like he's not seeing through his passing lanes or he's being swallowed by the pocket like a shorter quarterback would. And maybe that is just the difference between being 6'2 and 6'5. Yeah. I don't know, but Or it might just be that it's at that moment where he trusts his legs more than his ability to wind it around somebody's outstretched hand or something like that.
Yeah.
But I'm going to keep at Clint at it until he either calls me stupid or says I have
so
a good point.
Did he keep staring at you with a blank stare or did he answer your question?
I can't
I need to know how
what
this
I was
ended.
Even. No, I think we went on to something
you
else.
Did?
It was during the game. Yeah, we were.
Oh, okay.
As we were watching the game.
Oh, okay. I got
so
you.
So another play came up.
I thought
something.
Maybe it was at the Thanksgiving feast.
Oh
yesterday.
No! It wasn't like across the dinner table.
Yeah,
it was while we were watching the game last week.
I got you. So that was Charlie Casserly giving you a little breakdown of the Texans, which I realize it was video and it's Charlie describing a bunch of things. Charlie's voice makes me laugh.
I think.
Andrew. Oh, wait, what are you doing?
One of our listeners says, guys, what the hell has happened to Akins this year? Akins, he still plays like a young player. He's not a good blocker. There's times where he's not running his routes crisply and precisely. He's just not always where he's supposed to be all the time. And that's why they trust Darren Fells more than Jordan Akins, I think.
Do you think they bring Jordan Thomas back off the injured reserve list?
I think there's a chance.
I think they've got to decide by the Patriots.
Yeah, game. Jordan Thomas, you look at him and you think, wow, he should be a really good blocker too, but he blocks kind of like a young guy. He just doesn't have it in him. At some point, I would think that these guys will just almost by osmosis learn from Darren Fells. Darren Fells really gives it. Darren Fells, my God. When I watch Darren Fells running downfield in front of a running back or Deshaun Watson or somebody, and actually genuinely really giving a damn about blocking, that does so much more for a team than even 5 or 10 extra receptions in a year. His willingness to actually really, really care and get after blocking is so big. And I think Akins is willing. He just still has a lot to pick up and a lot to learn.
Yeah.
So I think they just trust Fells a lot more.
Fells is on your list of favorite players this
year.
He is.
He really is. He's right up there in terms of, especially among the non-marquee players, Fells might be my favorite. Because he was such a, and nobody, I mean, most of us didn't even have him on the roster, right? After they drafted two guys.
I thought, my feeling in training camp was they were going to carry four tight ends.
Yeah.
Is what I thought. Because Fells had such a specific skill set
compared
to the other three guys, were all young, right? They were the two second year Jordans, and then Kahale Waring, who they drafted, not to mention Jarrell Adams, who they had in training camp. But I thought, pre-even Jarrell Adams, I thought they'd keep four because they needed what Fells does so specifically. Ironically, I said that at the time before they had traded for Laremy Tunsil. You could argue now with the trade for Laremy Tunsil, what Darren Fells was going to bring for you, you don't need quite as much, right? Putting him next to your left tackle because your left tackle needs so much help. But he's been such a revelation in the passing game. Mm-hmm. And his ability to to kind of get open on these little, you know, these little boot dump passes and his ability in the red zone to kind of go up and over guys. Those are the basketball things that you see, right? Like that was the ironic part about Fells individually is this is a former basketball player whose key skill is in the blocking game.
Right, right. And because he cares about it. Right. That's what so much of it is. It's like defense in basketball. First requirement, do you care?
Right.
Oh, you care. Okay, we've got hope as a defensive basketball team. If you don't care, we're screwed.
Blocking's the same thing. So,
yeah, tight end blocking. Like Travis Kelce, he just like obviously doesn't give a damn about it.
Right.
I'll never, ever, ever, for the rest of my life, ever respect Travis Kelce to nearly to the same degree as Rob Gronkowski because Travis Kelce can't block, doesn't care about it, doesn't want it. He just wants to be a big wide receiver.
Yeah.
And it's just, and obviously he's awesome at it, but it's not as good as Gronk.
It served him well.
It just, it drives me crazy that anybody would ever put him in the same category as Gronk because he only plays half the position.
Yeah. And he's not nearly as endearing as Gronk. Let's face it. Kelsey's kind of a D-bag.
Yeah, that's true.
Gronk is likable.
I was watching a cut up of all the tight ends around the league. They were calling it National Tight Ends Day or something a few weeks ago.
They were?
Yeah, it was something. They had all these tight ends mic'd up. And I got to tell you, some of the most annoying people I've ever heard on any of these mic'd up were George Kittle, who I like as a player a lot.
Yeah.
Travis Kelce. And then somebody else. There were all these tight ends. I might have to do a study, like a personality study. There's something about being trapped between being an offensive lineman and being a wide receiver that turns them into weird people.
Travis Kelce is the king of the white dudes that like to talk like a black dude when they're around black dudes.
He changes.
He's the poster child.
It'd be one thing if he grew up somewhere that he just kind of talked like that.
Right.
But no, he's a chameleon.
Yeah.
It's like when I'm around the brothers.
And a bad chameleon.
I'm going to talk like a, yeah. But then when I'm in a, yeah.
He's like the gecko that's running along our brick on my house and he's still like colored bright green. Like, what are you doing,
man?
You're supposed to be brick color.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.